Hello and welcome, or welcome back. Today I'm going to be reading chapter 3 of Owl Was Well, written by Fencer_X on Archive of Our Own. I highly recommend you listen to the other chapters leading up to this one before you listen to this one. That way, the whole story is cohesive and it makes sense. Now, without further ado, please enjoy. Chapter 3. While many of our readers may have felt they could rest easier in the wake of the Battle of Hogwarts, with he who must not be named having been dealt a resounding defeat by Harry Potter and his band of rebels who so valiantly placed their lives on the line for the sake of all of wizarding kind, we at the Daily Prophet regret to inform you that justice has not been laid down equally upon all those who would have seen our very way of life torn asunder. Though indeed a great many of you-know-whose followers were sent off to Azkaban to pay for their heinous crimes against the wizarding world, a number were granted more lenient sentences for reasons unclear to the author of this article. One of these fugitives from justice is Draco Lucius Malfoy, the first subject to be discussed in our six-part series on the Forgotten Fiends, those foul few who, despite being avowed Death Eaters, documented and witnessed serving readily at the hand of you-know-who, have managed to haggle for leniency, receiving probationary sentences or else fines or community service assignments to serve their penance. Youthful indiscretions? You be the judge. Draco Malfoy could not be any more different from his contemporary and classmate Harry Potter if he tried. Despite being born to the same wealth and privilege as the savior of the wizarding world, young Malfoy's interests turned instead toward the dark arts, following in the footsteps of his father. Malfoy was questioned thoroughly by the ministry officials concerning his role in the death of the late headmaster Albus Dumbledore, an injury to several Hogwarts students in his sixth year, and eyewitness accounts place him amongst the ranks of you-know-whose Death Eaters during the Hogwarts occupation. Given his checkered past and these known dark dealings, you might expect Malfoy to be sat in an Azkaban cell next to his ne'er-do-well father, but dear readers, you would be mistaken. No. As our crack team of investigative reporters has recently uncovered, Draco Malfoy is not only being allowed to complete his Hogwarts schooling, attending lectures alongside the very same students whose murder he gleefully plotted, he recently completed his animagus training under the tutelage of Minerva McGonagall, and has been licensed to practice his magic in the form of an owl. Readers are reminded that animagus forms and markings are a matter of public record, and available to review upon request. Please direct requests to receive a detailed accounting of Malfoy's animagus form to the Improper Use of Magic Office under the Department of Magical Law Enforcement. Why a marked Death Eater has been allowed to return to these hallowed halls of erudition at all is a mystery our board can't quite wrap its mind around. Try though we might, but the move to permit Malfoy to study a branch of magic that has now granted him a form with which he can quite easily evade authorities is absolutely baffling. We can only hope that this decision doesn't come home to roost anytime soon. Draco's stomach sank, plummeting like he'd swallowed a lead nugget. His innards churned as his breakfast tried to claw its way back up from its gullet, and a cold sweat broke out over his forehead. Fuck. Fuck. Draco, darling, what is this? Pansy, still speaking in a frantic, hushed whisper, as if at least half the hall hadn't read the same article in their own morning copies of The Prophet just now. An animagus? But you never said a word. She ran her eyes over the article again, brows knitting. And this is just a horrid hit piece on you. What's this rubbish about not having served your time? You're on probation, not a holiday. He wasn't listening to her, though. Couldn't hear her. Not over the sound of his blood rushing in his ears as his heart pumped feverishly. He shoved his plate away, scrambling off the bench and nearly tripping over his own 2 feet as he quick-walked. Oh, he wanted to breakneck run, but he'd only draw more attention that way. From the hall. He kept his gaze resolutely ahead, feeling the weight of hundreds of eyes on his back and praying, futilely, none of them belonged to Harry Potter. Oh, he was fucked now. He hadn't imagined his animagus abilities would remain secret forever, but he had at least hoped they wouldn't be splashed across the front page of the fucking Prophet. But of course they would. Of course word would get out. Someone from the improper use of magic office would have seen him filing his paperwork, dropped a hint to a reporter, and that would have been that. The problem with public records was that they were public, and it didn't matter that their public nature inherently meant that he wasn't trying to hide his abilities. The fact that he clearly hadn't been punished severely enough for his crime of not standing up to the Dark Lord because he didn't want to die, thank you very much, and he'd never be allowed to forget that. He'd let his guard down. He'd let himself get complacent, thinking all it would take to keep a low profile was a suitably unremarkable form. But that had never been the case. The only way to keep from being noticed was to be someplace where no one could notice him, no matter how hard they tried. This meant no more shifting, no more owlry, definitely no more visiting Potter. No more free treats either, and that was a tragedy, but if he absolutely needed to indulge the occasional craving, well, he could probably convince Pansy or Blaze to file an owl post order for him. They would look at him strange, sure, but he was beyond caring that his housemates might think he was taking after his animagus form a bit too keenly. He would stay in his room, within the dungeon tucked deep beneath the castle, just hiding away and finishing school, head down and desperate to be forgotten. The worst of it was, he knew he deserved being outed in this fashion. He was lucky to have gotten off with just probation, and some self-flagellatory part of him agreed with the prophet that, yeah, he probably ought to have been chucked into Azkaban. Not for life, but perhaps long enough to shake him of the yellow stripe painted down his spine. Still, he vainly hoped that he might be able to complete his probation and graduate without issue, and then go on to find a job somewhere that wouldn't ask too many questions about what he'd been up to for the past few years, where no one could bother him. He was handy with charms, he'd learned, and he had a knack for repairing magical items, never mind where that experience had come from. Surely there was a shop in Nocturne Alley that would be willing to take him on, even if they might not pay the best wages. That was looking less and less likely now, though, for it would only be a matter of time after being hired before someone caught him commuting to work and outed him again to the prophet. No shop owner, nocturne-based or otherwise, would want to put up with that sort of heat being brought down upon their heads. Maybe he could spend the remaining few months of school brushing up on disguise spells. It would be a waste of good breeding to walk around looking like anything less than himself, but needs must and all that. He stopped attending meals in the Great Hall, instead taking them in his room. He hadn't set foot outside of the dungeon in nearly 2 weeks, other than to attend classes, and it was doing a wondrous job of keeping the riffraff from harassing him too much. This meant, however, that the task fell to Blaze to deliver Draco the letter that had been found sitting at the Slytherin table when the students filed into the Great Hall for dinner. Addressed simply to Malfoy in a chicken scratch scrawl, it seemed innocent enough, with its crisp white envelope and wax seal bearing a stag's head. Still, looks could be absolutely deceiving, and Draco had considered burning it on the spot, for who knew what manner of curse had been laid upon it, and it wasn't as if Draco could go running to the headmistress begging to have his mail monitored for the foreseeable future. But that would have been the coward's way out, and perhaps he could scry for who sent it if it turned out to be something really horrible. With a lump in his throat, Draco settled down before his roll-top desk, clearing away anything irreplaceable, in case the letter was a howler, and carefully broke the seal. I need a letter delivered and am prepared to pay as many treats as it takes for my private owl's services. Please advise at your earliest convenience. Oh, fantastic. Draco supposed he should have been relieved he was being targeted less by nasty sorts wanting to punish him for imagined, and not-so-imagined, offenses, and more by pranksters who derived pleasure from puerile taunts. And then his eye drifted down to the signature, initials only, HJP. Fuck it all. This was just what he needed right now. It wasn't enough that he had to deal with the greater wizarding world at large judging him for how he'd chosen to cope with the poor choices he'd made in the war. Now Potter wanted a piece of him, too. He'd half hoped Potter might have ignored the gossip. It was the Prophet, after all, and they'd rarely printed anything the boy savior might deem fit. Maybe he would have heard the words, "Did you hear what the Prophet said about," and immediately tuned out. Alas, though, it seemed no such luck. Besides, after going on 2 weeks, Potter couldn't have missed the news even if he wanted to. If nothing else, Weasley would have made sure he heard. No, there was nothing for it. He would have to take his lumps and apologize. The last thing he needed now was Potter getting it into his head to write a tell-all corroborating the public's worst fears, detailing at length the heinous acts and mischief managed by Draco using his Animagus form. He'd considered a letter at first. It was formal. He could compose his thoughts more easily, and there was no chance of emotion getting the better of him and winding up cursing Potter, or getting cursed. But after spending an entire afternoon trying to decide how to even open the letter, Dear Potter, to our gracious savior, Oi Nob, he decided to have done with it and just go. Not in person, of course. Unlike Potter, he didn't have a death wish. But they had an understanding. So under cover of night, he poked his head out of the dungeon, checked to be sure he wasn't liable to be jumped the minute he showed his face outside of his house, and made his way to the Owlery, where one quick transformation had him winging his way to Gryffindor Tower. The window to Potter's room was closed, as it usually was this late in the year with winter on the horizon, and Draco quietly buzzed the tower, softly buffeting the plane with his wings on each pass. He could catch the sounds of muffled conversation within and amorphous forms obscured by the glazing of the glass as they moved in and out of the light. Shortly, one figure loomed larger than the others as it approached the glass. With the click of the latch being drawn, the window was eased open, and Potter's stupid head poked its way out. He glanced to and fro in frowning confusion, and Draco had to release a rasping squawk before he was finally noticed, doing his level best to hover just above the window and feeling the strain of the effort quite keenly. Ah! Potter drew his head back inside for a moment, then poked it out again. My roommates are in. I'll meet you in the Owlery, 10 minutes. And giving Draco no chance to protest, though he couldn't rightly do much more than hiss and scream, and while that was satisfying in its own right, it wouldn't really help just now, he shut the window and locked it tight. With the closest thing he could manage to a frustrated groan, Draco adjusted his angle to make his way to the Owlery, strings of explicitives going off in his mind like fairy lights. He'd wanted this over and done with. Fuck it all, he should have written a letter. He could have delivered it himself just now, and that would have been the best of both worlds, a calm, collected letter of apology, presented with a personal touch, so Potter understood that despite everything, Draco still had his breeding to fall back on. As expected, he was the first to arrive in the Owlery, and he took his time, entering through one of the highest windows and spiraling his way through the rafters. Most of the perches were empty, with many of the owls either being out on deliveries or hunting, and the few that remained only sparing him brief glances before going back to their naps or grooming. Draco landed on the lowest branch, where Potter had often left him treats, then steeled himself before hopping down onto the detritus covered ground below and ballooning back up to his respectable human height. Merlin's balls, but he hated the Owlery as a human. It reeked, you always came out covered in down or bird shit or both, and these days it felt like all the owls were watching him. They'd always given him a wide berth before, sensing he wasn't quite one of them. But now, when their eyes fell on him, he sensed sneering judgment in their gazes, as if they'd read the prophet as well and were scandalized he'd used their form to try and hide from his problems. Oh, wow. It really was you. Draco jumped, he was certain, a good 3 feet in the air, whirling around with one hand already reaching for his wand, while the other was raised in what he'd imagined to be self-defense, but what probably looked to be an offer of forfeit. He couldn't go 5 minutes without humiliating himself before the blessed savior, it seemed. For it was, indeed, Harry Potter standing there, leaned casually back against the weathered stone arch making the doorway to the Owlery. He'd doffed his robes for the evening, wearing only his favorite muggle trappings. Really, Draco ought to have slipped in an order to Madame Mawkins for him by now. It was just sad for a grown-ass wizard to be running around dressed in such rags, and was giving Draco a curious look. Bemused, mostly, but also a tiny bit impressed, albeit with the pinched tension of annoyance peeking through around the corners of his lips and eyes. Draco drew himself up, tugging on his robes and taking a step back. He disguised his still racing pulse with a gruff, derisive huff and forced a curl to his lip. "Thought the entire school was pulling one over on you, then? Slow news day at the Prophet, so why not troll the wizarding world?" And the pinched annoyance grew tenser, edging out the impression and bemusement as Potter took several steps forward. Enough now the moonlight streaming through the windows began to bring his form into view. Human eyesight was shit. Potter's glasses, hideous though they were, didn't seem like such useless accessories now. "Of course not. I just found it difficult to believe, despite all evidence otherwise, that you'd willingly put yourself within 5 feet of me." He wrinkled his nose. "I still don't get it, to be honest." And this was not the conversation Draco wanted to be having with anyone, least of all Harry Potter himself. He crossed his arms over his chest, spitting out with as much venom as he could muster in his flustered state, "I'm not delivering any more of your silly letters, by the way." Potter shoved his hands into his pockets, giving a bobbing nod. "No, I didn't figure you would." His gaze drifted over to the knot where he'd made so many offerings, begging after Draco's services. "Did you really deliver them before?" Draco made a face, grinding an old pellet into dust beneath his loafer. "No, I had my own owl deliver them." And before Potter could accuse him of laziness, he continued. "I wasn't going to work myself into an early grave flying all over the British Isles. Good gad, you were posting shit at least 4 times a week at one point there. Never mind that Xerxes had never turned his beak up at a request to deliver Potter's post. He was an owl. A real one, not a pretend one. Those animals were bred for this sort of crude work, whereas Draco had been bred for finely brewed afternoon tea imported from Japan and extravagant gala exhibitions and overly furnished centuries-old cigar rooms. But Potter was only smiling, a little self-deprecating thing that put Draco on edge. Perhaps the shock of realizing that Alabastard was only Draco Malfoy in transformation had pushed him over the edge, and he was about to finish the job he'd started in the 6th-floor boys' bathroom the previous year. Well, that wouldn't do. He took another half-step back, angling away. He had enough scars on his chest from Potter as it was, no sense in making things worse. "You don't seem half as pissed off as I'd have expected. Dare I hope you've finally learned to act your age?" "You did give me plenty to be pissed off about, true." He scrubbed at his hair distractedly. "I can't believe you shit on me." "Don't pretend you didn't deserve it. I gave you all manner of warning signs to leave me the fuck alone. Be grateful I didn't scalp you." "I wasn't anywhere near you when..." He sighed, wiping his face with a sigh, then shrugged to himself. "Well, I wasn't actually that surprised when I found out, really. You never acted like a proper owl, even a magical one. More like what you'd expect Draco Malfoy to act like if he were an owl. When I saw the article in The Prophet, I mostly just thought, oh, well, that makes sense." Relieving the rather rocky, but still terribly amusing, start to their interactions was a cool reminder to Draco of what he'd confronted Potter for in the first place this evening, and he squared his shoulders and steeled himself to once more bow his head. He'd gotten very good at it these past several months, and he expected there was room yet to grow even further. Such a bright future to look forward to, nose pressed to the ground and apologies on his lips until his dying day. "At any rate, I suppose you'll be wanting an apology. I will admit I might have taken some liberties with my animagus form." He began ticking off the mental list he'd prepared for this moment. "I apologize for reading, well, all of your post. If it helps, I only understood perhaps half of the contents thanks to your absolutely horrible handwriting. If you're still looking for a toy broom for Tedward for Christmas, check with Broomsticks, not Briggs Brooms. Brig retired 5 years back, and his sons absolutely ruined their good reputation. And if you're still having trouble with the black property matter, I can refer you to my solicitor. By all rights, it ought to be mine, but I'd rather see it in wizarding hands than goblin ones, so I suppose you'll have to do. Potter blinked stupidly, mouth half agape, and when Draco stopped speaking, the silence seemed to snap him back to his senses. He startled, shaking his head. He scrubbed at the back of his head. His hair was getting longer and more unruly. It hadn't been this bad since fourth year. Perhaps he was letting himself go now that the war was over. What a waste of a celebrity. What a waste of a celebrity. No, that's fine. The post business, I mean. I don't really care about that. After all, he shrugged, they weren't all that private, aside from the exchanges with the bank, and you don't seem half as eager to go running to Rita Skeeter with stories about me these days. Fuck it all. Was he wanting an apology for that, too? Well, he could rot till kingdom come waiting. Draco wasn't budging. It does make me wonder, though. Fantastic. The conversation was to continue. Draco let his eyes drift up to the rafters. He'd made his apology and was, to his mind, no longer obligated to stick around. The judging stares of the other owls seemed far more bearable than a heart-to-heart with Potter, especially when Draco was in a form where he might be expected to participate in the bearing of souls that Gryffindors surely expected. Why'd you do it? Why did I do what? I've done rather a lot in these past few years to prompt such a question. You'll really have to be more specific. All right, I think it's pretty obvious I'm referring to the thing that has us freezing our bollocks off someplace that absolutely reeks. Potter covered his nose. God, how do you stand it in here? You're in here all the time. Owls have a shit sense of smell. Can't sense a thing. Huh, really? He squinted at Draco. What about sense of taste? You seriously like those treats? 'Cause, full disclosure, I did try one after everything came out just to see if maybe even humans might find them tasty, and... He shook his head. Haven't been able to get the taste out of my mouth since. Definitely not one of my brighter ideas. Harry Potter making a poor decision. Shocking, Draco drawled. Oi, you're one to talk. Let's alert the Prophet. Perhaps it'll take some of the heat off of me. Draco Malfoy spurring attention. Call the healers. This little shit. Potter leaned back against the tower wall, keeping clear of a white line of owl shit streaking down the stones. So, why'd you do it? Clearly, Potter wasn't going to let this go, when it would have been ever so much easier for the both of them to forget this had ever happened and simply move on with their lives. Draco fixed his eye on one of the owls resting upon the second lowest branch. Another barn owl. This one so dusty brown she looked black in the shadows cast by the tower. To mess with you, obviously. I've made a reputation of it over the course of our schooling. I think you'll agree. Potter nodded slowly, humoring him. Right. So, sitting with me while I did my charms work? Did it badly. While I did my charms work badly, was messing with me? Right. This conversation was over. Apologies had been delivered, gestures had been made, and Drake late for... Well, nothing now, really. Damn. He really was going to have to start buying his own owl treats. Listen, if you aren't going to punch me or curse me or write a tell-all and send it to the Prophet, then can we possibly just forget this ever happened? I think we'll both be happier that way. Hermione already punched you, I already cursed you, and someone else's tell-all in the Prophet is why we're here in the first place. Draco could feel Potter's eyes on him, picking him apart, and kept his own gaze resolutely on the barn owl slumbering peacefully. Some birds had all the luck. Why animagecraft? Seems like an awful lot of work for a bit of privacy. You could have invested in a nice demiguise fur cloak or bought a headless hat from the Weezes shop or done about, I don't know, a dozen other things that were infinitely easier to accomplish than studying some of the most difficult magic out there. And flattering as it might be to think you did it just to make my life a little bit more hellish in your own special way, I'm disinclined to believe you. Something soft hit Draco in the temple, and he flinched. What the f- An old pellet fell at his feet, instantly disintegrating with the impact. So? He whipped his head around, and Potter already had another pellet in hand, tossing it in bald threat. Were there no depths to which he wouldn't sink? Disgusting. Why animagecraft? Thinking about using it for a career? It's a rare enough skill, I'll give you that. Draco gave a harsh, rough bark of laughter, fighting the urge to roll his eyes all the way out of his head. Career? What career? Who in their right mind would hire me now? I have no career, I have no future, and while I had privacy for a time, that's now, pun intended, I suppose, flown the coop. Potter did not bother fighting his own eye-rolling urge, indulging merrily. Oh, don't be so dramatic. And had he met Draco? Of course you've got a future, and a career if you wanted one, I'm sure. You're only on probation until graduation. At least it's not Azkaban. Think I deserved Azkaban? Obviously not. Don't be dense. I'm saying if you wanted to do something, if you showed some effort, maybe asked for some help from friends who'd probably be very happy to oblige, you can still come back from... He waved vaguely. All of this. Draco recoiled, giving Potter a wary once-over. Good gad, Potter, we aren't friends. Those trips to Gryffindor Tower had been a monumental mistake. These sorts could be clingy as Hufflepuffs, evidently. Potter looked at him like he'd grown a second head. Never said we were, but surely you do have some, yeah? Draco wanted to swallow his tongue. It was difficult to tell if Potter had been deliberately attempting to goad him into that embarrassing slip, or if he was genuinely that thick and Draco had only given him too much credit. I do, he said, though it came out far too defensive, and he could feel his self-worth plummeting in real time. He did have friends, of course he did, but he also had his pride, and indulging in one meant necessarily sacrificing the other. He cared dearly for both Pansy and Blaze, though they could truly test his patience at times. But there were some things you just didn't ask your friends to do. It simply wasn't done. They would look at him differently, if he debased himself so. And he couldn't have that. He just couldn't. You aren't some hopeless case, you know. You've only got a few more hurdles than others might. Maybe, if you stopped feeling so sorry for yourself and moping about, you'd see that. Stop moping. He clenched both fists tight at his sides, knuckles gone white, and reminded himself that decking Harry Potter would feel good for about 5 seconds only, and then he'd be explaining himself to his missionary-appointed probation officiate. You think I just sailed through last year? Think I wasn't just as horrified as any of you about what might happen to me and mine, however things turned out? He took a step towards Potter, almost impressed when Potter held his ground. But then, this was the wizard who'd faced down the Dark Lord. He wasn't so much brave as just stupid. You want to know why I studied animagecraft? Because it was the only way I could think of to well and truly escape. I just wanted to leave, to get out, because I knew no matter what side won, I'd lose. Potter stared up at him, and Draco appreciated those precious few inches of difference in their heights. It wasn't much, but it helped. That's what happens when you don't pick a side at all. You're left with nothing to hope for, nothing to work for. I thought you Slytherins were supposed to be cunning or something. You ought to know by now that if you want your side to win, you've got to commit to it. You can't do things like lie to your looning aunt's face when I'm sitting in your parlor, or hold your goons back from finishing what Voldemort started. You can't do the bare minimum and just hope for the best. I wasn't hoping for the best, Draco snarled, and several of the owls on lower scent roosts scattered in fright. I did the only thing I could to make it happen. And did it? Did it happen? Potter's eyes drifted around the owlry. This is the best? And Draco had nothing to say to that, so he didn't. Potter sighed. You weren't a very good Death Eater, you know. Because I didn't want to be a fucking Death Eater, you dolt. Well, with your name being what it is and that lovely ink on your arm, a lot of people are going to make inappropriate assumptions, so you can either change your name and start wearing long sleeves, or grow a thicker skin about it, and then maybe start becoming something you do want to be. Not everyone will respect the choices you make, but they might respect you at least. Draco stared at him for a beat, boggling as Potter's words really set in, along with his poorly disguised intentions. Subtlety was not in this one's repertoire, and it spoke to Draco's preoccupation and discomfiture with the events of late he had not seen coming from a mile off. Wait, are you here to lecture me? Is that what you're after? Luring me out here? You're trying... He donned his best disgusted sneer. To save me? Potter bobbed his head, ducking into a rakish shrug. Well, I do have a pretty good track record, savior-wise. Draco wished he had a pellet too now, that he might chuck it at Potter's stupid face. Oh, fuck you. I'm not your newest project now that you've slain the Dark Lord. If you've got the hero itch in you still, there's probably a couple thousand pathetic war orphans you can go coddle, or Harry J. Potter's earwax and toe gunk peace memorials to christen, but leave me well out of it. Earwax and toe gunk, do you hear yourself? He did. That was the trouble. He felt his face heat and struggled to keep his voice even. That he was getting so emotional was humiliating enough. He certainly didn't need Potter realizing the effect he still had on Draco after all this time. The idea that Potter could do anything but bring out the very worst side of Draco was laughable. Savior his great white feathered ass. He took a measured breath, biting out in his most vicious whisper. I'll handle my business my way and let the consequences be on my head. I don't need your I told you so's, I don't need your sanctimonious speeches, and I certainly don't need you to be here. Potter's glare was cold and empty, and Draco could sense the disappointment radiating off of him. Good. He deserved a bit of disillusionment to counter all that unaccounted optimism. I liked you better when you couldn't talk. Draco flashed him a pinched smile. Happy to oblige. And then, in a swirl of robes, he slipped into his owl form and took off through the nearest open window, into the darkness and out of sight. Okay, recording that hurt my heart. I very much hope you enjoyed this story. If you did, or this chapter, if you did, be sure to follow, be sure to subscribe depending on the platform. Sorry, my script is out of date. And if you'd like to hear more, I have content on Anchor, Spotify, and a catalog on AO3, which is still missing stuff, so if you find the holes, be sure to let me know. If you have recommendations, I've got a form for you to fill out, and if you'd like to join my Discord server or follow me on Instagram, you can find the links to all of these things in my Beacons page, which is like the same thing as a link tree, the link to which will be in the description, as well as some other important information. This isn't just a ploy to get you to follow me, by the way. I have polls and stuff that you guys can participate in that most of the time help me decide what to read next, or if I'm feeling fickle about what I want to do, or I need ideas. And I really do enjoy all of your comments. I promise I go through every single one. They just make my day. I love reading them. So please leave me some. Even if it's just a hi, I will read it and I will smile. And yeah, while I have you here, please go give the author some love, because if you agree with me, this is pretty good. I mean, my God, the tension. Oh my gosh. And yeah, thank you for joining me today, and I will see you next week. Bye!